Hi, and welcome to Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. My name is Fee Sullivan, Senior Pastor, and I truly want to thank you for joining us today as we study the Word of God. It is our desire that your life be touched today, and we pray that the Lord will speak to you with this message. And at the conclusion of this message, we have some important information for you. Please join me now as we begin our message.
Please allow me to go before the throne room of grace. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we thank you for your goodness. We thank you for your grace, and we thank you for your mercy. Lord, I'm asking, Lord, that you would give us ears to hear and eyes to see what the Spirit is saying to the church. And we bless you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen, amen. And so, my friends, did you bring your Bibles? Turn with me to the book of James, chapter 5, and we're going to read verses 5 through 9. And I've entitled this message, it's right here on the screen. Let's go there right now. And it is, hold on to Jesus, we can make it. Let me just pause there for a moment, my friends. Listen, right now we live in some horrendous times. We're living in times right now where the nation is divided. We are still in a COVID type of pandemic. Yes, I know there's vaccines, and I know that it's starting to settle down, but there's spikes around the world. We see the violence. We see what's taking place. One of the things that has not stopped, and we're going to look at this, is children that are still being aborted. Over 70 million now have been aborted from the womb. And God calls that an abomination. He calls that murder. And we're going to see in these verses of scriptures where God, in one day, and it's soon and very soon, he's going to put an end to it. He's going to bring judgment. He's going to eradicate the sins of this world, the evil of this world. And he's going to set up his kingdom, the millennial reign. And I can't wait. I can't wait, because you and I, the called out church, the saints of God that have been washed in the blood of the Lamb and filled with the Spirit of promise, God has given you and I that opportunity to live with them forevermore. Praise God. How many of you at home right now are so excited to know that you are going to live with Jesus forevermore? Praise God. Praise God. Well, we're going to look at these scriptures, and I'm praying that God's going to enlighten us and give us an insight into how he's going to deal, and he will deal harshly to those who have opposed him, who have mocked him, who have ridiculed him, who's persecuted the church. Well, that's right. And so we're going to look at these few scriptures and ask God to give us an understanding, and that we would see clearly the time that we live in. Amen. So let's go there right now. Let's go there right now. James chapter 5, 5 through 9. And the Word of God reads, you have lived on the earth in pleasure and luxury. You have fattened your hearts as in the day of slaughter. You have condemned. You have murdered the just. He does not resist you. Therefore, be patient, brethren, until the coming of the Lord. See how the farmer waits for the precious fruit of the earth, waiting patiently for it until it receives the early and latter rain. Verse 8, you also be patient. Say that with me at home. You also be patient in your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is at hand. Do not grumble against one another, brethren, lest you be condemned. Behold, the judge is standing at the door. My goodness, my goodness. Did you catch that? The judge is standing at the door. So let's go to our first verse here. We're going to do expository teaching. Verse 5. You have lived on the earth in pleasure and luxury. You have fattened your hearts as in the day of slaughter. Wow, wow, my friends. Listen, the lifestyles of the rich and famous may make interesting, you know, media fodder and all that, but they are noxious to God. These rich who have taken the land from the poor and then refuse to pay their deserved wages have shown gross lack of concern and selfishness that took place during the times that this book was written. But nothing has changed in 2,000 years. I hope you know that. And to this, my friends, they have added an attitude of wastefulness and self-indulgence that God detests. You see, my friends, a life of luxury and satisfying every whim is essentially worthless. Why? Because money will mean nothing when Christ returns. So we should spend our time, what? Accumulating treasures that will be worthwhile in God's eternal kingdom. Can I get amen? Listen, he who wins souls is wise. It's about winning the loss at every cost. Listen, how many times have you been without funds, without money, without maybe even $10 in your wallet? And then there are times where you have thousands of dollars in your savings account. Money comes and go. That's right. And the wealth of this land will come and go. My friends, we are at the brink of an economic collapse. I hope you know that. That's right. Right now in real estate, prices are so soaring within the next few months. The average home will be close to $1 million here in San Diego. What? You see, my friends, money itself, it's not the problem. Christian leaders need money to live and support their families. We get that. Missionaries need money to help them spread the gospel. Churches need money to do their work effectively. We get all that. It is the love of money that leads to evil and causes to oppress others to get more. We are in a culture that just wants more. We're not content. We're not happy to what God has given us. But God is saying, be content to what God has given you and I. That's right. So what if the neighbor built a brand new pool and has an RV and has all the toys? Listen, don't get jealous and don't try to get everything that they acquired. Here's the key. Bake a pie. Bring it over to your neighbor. Be friends with them, and they'll let you swim in their pool. Can I get amen? Let's look at what the Word of God and 1 Timothy says right here. Look at this. For the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil, for which some have strayed from their faith in their greediness and pierced themselves through with what? Many sorrows. Wow. Wow. You see, I don't know about you, but I know some people, some close people in my life, in my sphere of influence, who strive to be millionaires, to strive to have the wealth of the land, and yet they've crashed and burned, and they have nothing to show for. But you and I have a great opportunity to store up our treasures in heaven. Can I get amen? To preach and to teach, to lay hands on the sick, to minister to those who need Jesus in their life. That's right. You see, what we do for Christ, that's what will last. It'll go into eternity. And I'd rather do things for Christ, and I'd rather store my treasure in heaven where rust and moth and thieves cannot break in. Can I get amen? Someone can break into your house. Someone can take your identity and steal all your wealth, even when it's secure in a bank. That's right. But no one can reach heaven and take what God has given you. Can I get amen? So saints, this is a warning to all Christians. Can I get amen? Who are tempted to adopt worldly standards rather than God's standards. You see, an encouragement to all those who are oppressed by the rich. This is why God says in his word, look at this right here, in Romans 12, 1 and 2, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a what? Living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be what? Conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. That's the key right there, my friends. And look what it says in Jeremiah 12, 1 through 3. Righteous are you, O Lord, when I plead with you. Yet let me talk with you about your judgments. Why does the way of the wicked prosper? Why are those happy who deal so treacherously? You see, Jeremiah, the prophet, he was called the weeping prophet. He would come to the kings there in northern Israel, southern Israel. He would go to Israel, to Judah, and he would cry out because they would always find themselves in sin. I'm talking about all the way from the priesthood down to the common people. And Jeremiah would cry out, repent, repent, or judgment will come. And so all the prophets before him, you know what they would do? They would boil them in oil. They would burn them. They would put them in dungeons and starve them to death. They would beat them. Why? Because they didn't want to be corrected by the Lord, especially the kings and the judges at the time. But Jeremiah was bold. God spoke to him and says, speak to them and declare, thus saith the Lord. And my friends, I believe there are churches like ours around this country that's crying out that this nation needs to repent. This nation needs to get back to its roots. This nation has to be not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, for it's the power of God unto salvation, first to the Jew and then to us Gentiles. You see, my friends, God has called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. God is not going to be playing around any longer. God's patience will run out. And let me just say this, when God removes the church from this planet, all wrath will be poured out on this planet. And those who thought they were saved are going to wish they got right with God, that they truly had a relationship. Because only those who are born again, washed in the blood, filled with the Spirit, has their oil full, hallelujah, of the Spirit of God living in them, are the ones that Jesus is coming for. Why? Because those are the saints of God that are looking for his return. There are many Christians around the world that are going about their daily business and they're not even looking for the return. Some of them are even mocking us who believe he's coming soon and mocking, saying, yeah, right, he's coming again. He hasn't come in 2,000 years. And a lot of them have put God on the back burner and have tried to obtain the riches of this world. But James is telling us, hold, slow your roll right now. God is about to return. Are you storing up, my friends, are you storing up riches in heaven? That's the key. And that's what we need to understand. And that's what this Bible study tonight, hopefully, is conveying to you and I. Can I get an amen? Praise God. Now, let's go to verse 6. Look at this. But you, right here in Jeremiah 12, 1 through 3, righteous are you, O Lord, when I plead with you. Yet let me talk with you about your judgments. Why does the way of the wicked prosper? He's asking this question. Why are those happy who deal so treacherously? Look at this. You have planted them, yes. They have taken root. They grow, yes. They bear fruit. You are near in their mouth, but far from their mind. Oh, my gosh. My goodness. Look at verse 3. But you, O Lord, know me. You have seen me, and you have tested my heart toward you. Pull them out like sheep for the slaughter, and prepare them for the day of slaughter. Wow. Wow. You see, that was a harsh word. That was a harsh word. But Jeremiah had to bring it. Can I get amen? And I know sometimes I have to preach harsh words over this pulpit, but I have to give an account to the Lord Jesus Christ. Can I get amen? You don't have to give an account. You can just turn off the channel. You don't even have to come to church and listen to what thus saith the Lord out of the Word of God, out of the Scriptures. And that's okay. But I'm accountable, and I'm going to continue to preach truth. I'm going to continue to preach God's immutable Word. It's immovable. It's rock solid. Hallelujah. And nothing will change out of the Scriptures that comes out of the mouth of God. Amen. Amen. Let's go to verse 6. You have condemned and you have murdered the just, he who does not resist you. Wow. Wow. Look at this, my friends. Look at this. You see, the condemning and killing of good people was probably both active and passive. Inconvenient people may indeed have been murdered, but more likely the poor people who could not pay their debts during this time were thrown into prison or forced to sell all their possessions. But more so, many right now in our nation, there's over 70 million babies that have been aborted. Did you know that if you were to squeeze all the blood that was shed upon these little babies, 70 million, you could take every ounce of blood and fill up one of the lakes in Michigan. What? There is going to be blood on those hands that have shed innocent blood. My goodness, this is why we need to pray and fast. This is why God said enough is enough. Did you know that right before the Babylonians came and took Israel into captivity, right before they were throwing their children and sacrificing them to the god of Baal? Well, in our modern day and time, that's the abortion clinics. That's right, the abortion mills. And so, my friends, one of the things that I love about God, if you've done something like that in the past and you've confessed your sin and you cried out to God for forgiveness, He will cleanse you and wash you, and He will forgive you. That's who He is. But there are people who have unconfessed sin regarding that, and they don't care what they did in the past. They're going to be held to a big, strong, accountable moment when God sees them face to face, my friends. My goodness. Now, with no means of support and no opportunity even to work off their debts during the time of James, these poor people and their families often died of starvation. Oh, yes, they did. You see, they weren't the wealthy type during this time in Jesus' day. There was just a certain few that had the wealth. In our country, in our day and time, there are many millionaires now. You can obtain a lot of wealth here in this country. But what happens, it becomes their God. Let's look at 2 Timothy right here. Let's look at this. 2 Timothy 3:10 through 17. It says, "But you have carefully followed my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, love, perseverance, persecutions, afflictions, which happened to me at Antioch and Iconium and Lystra." This is Paul writing to Timothy. "What persecutions I endured. And out of them all, the Lord delivered me." Praise God. Praise God. Let me just pause right there. I don't care the situation that you're in right now. God will deliver you if you have faith and you hold on. This whole message is called Hold On to Jesus. We can make it. This is not time to throw in the towel. This is the time to hold your grounds and plow toward and press toward the prize and the call in Christ Jesus. Let's go back to the Word. Look at this. In verse 12, "Yes, and all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will," say that with me at home, "will suffer persecution. But evil men and imposters will grow worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But you must continue in the things which you have learned and been assured of knowing from whom you have learned them." Praise God. Verse 15, "And that from childhood you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus." Say this with me at home. Verse 16, "All Scripture," say that with me again, "all Scripture is given by inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work." Praise God. Aren't you so blessed, saints of God? Are you equipped, or are you being equipped? Are you equipping yourself? Listen, I'm telling you, we're living in the last days, and are you ready to meet the King? Have you gotten your family prepared? Are they looking for Jesus? Or are they looking for the next movie that comes out on Friday on Netflix? Well, it's either or. There's no in between. You're either hot, hallelujah, for God, or you are cold. And the Bible says it's better to be cold, because if you're lukewarm, God will spit you out of His mouth. Wow. So God also considered this way that they were living, especially during the times of James, there was a lot of murder going around. But either way, in the unjust system, it was legal for them. That's right. So saints, it is no difference that today, as I mentioned, our legal system has allowed 70, did you catch that? 70 million babies aborted through our ungodly legal system ever since Roe v. Wade. So the poor at that time had no power to defend themselves. Their only recourse, saints of God, against the evil rich was to cry out to God. The conditions that James is describing may seem hopeless, and many of the rich will not repent. We know that. But believers can live with hope. Can I get an amen? However, because Christ is coming back, he will bring judgment and justice. It is to Christ's return that James now turns, hallelujah, in this next verse of scripture. Let's look at this right here. Look at this. Therefore, he says, be patient, brethren, until the coming of the Lord. See how the farmer waits for the precious fruit of the earth, waiting patiently for it until it receives the early and latter rain. Praise God. This is a prophetic scripture, because the latter rain also is regarding the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Praise God. You see, saints, believers are to be patient, even in the midst of injustice. That's right. You see, the believers need to endure, trust in God through their trials, and refuse to try to get even for wrongs committed against them. That's the first thing that happens to us when we're wronged by either someone or through the system. We want revenge. We want vengeance. But the Bible says, vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. We are to trust God and say, God, I turn this over to you. I have no control over this situation, but you know all things. Praise God. Look what King David wrote right here in Psalms. In Psalms 37, 1 through 17. Let's look at that. Do not fret because of evildoers, nor be envious of the workers of iniquity, for they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb. Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and feed on what? His faithfulness. Praise God. The Bible says, delight yourself also in the Lord, and he shall give you the desires of your heart. Oh, that's the key, my friends. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. He shall bring forth your righteousness as the light, and your justice as the noonday. The Bible says in verse 7, rest in the Lord and wait what? Patiently for him. Do not fret because of him who prospers in his way, because of the man who brings wicked schemes to pass. Look at verse 8. Cease. Say that with me at home. Cease from anger and forsake wrath. The wrath of God that's going to be poured out, God will take care of those situations. Can I get amen? It's not for us to pour out any kind of wrath, but to live in peace here. Hallelujah. By the power of the Holy Spirit. Let's go back to the word. Do not fret. It only causes harm. For evildoers shall be cut off. But those who wait on the Lord, they shall inherit the earth. For yet a little while, and the wicked shall be no more. Indeed, you will look carefully for his place, but it shall be no more. Look at verse 11. But the meek shall inherit the earth, and shall delight themselves in the abundance of peace. The wicked plots against the just and gnashes at him with his teeth. The Lord laughs at him, for he sees that his day is coming. Wow, wow, look at this. The wicked have drawn the sword and have bent their bow to cast down the poor and needy, to slay those who are of upright conduct. Their sword shall enter their own heart, and their bow, look at this, their bow shall be broken. A little that a righteous man has is better than the riches of many wicked. What? Did you catch that? Verse 17, for the arms of the wicked shall be broken, but the Lord upholds the righteous. Praise God. You see, saints, patience does not mean inaction. There was work to be done, serving God, caring for one another, and proclaiming the good news. You see, there is an end point, a time when patience will no longer be needed and the Lord's return. At that time, everything, my friends, everything will be made right. Praise God. How many want things made right? I do. I want things made right. Praise God. And when God does it right, he does a good thing. That's right. You see, my friends, the early church lived in constant expectation of Christ's return, and so should we. Why? Because we don't know when Christ will return to bring justice and remove oppression. We must wait with patience. Can I get amen? That's right. Look what 2 Peter says. But beloved, do not forget this one thing, that with the Lord, one day is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. Let me just pause right there. You see, there's no clocks in heaven. That's right. 1,000 years could go by here on earth, and it's just one day in heaven. Wow. There's no time. We're in a different realm here on earth, but in heaven, my goodness, there won't be clocks up there. You won't be up there saying, man, it's time to go home, I'm tired. No, not at all. We're going to be in our new body. We're going to have the joy of the Lord. Jesus is going to light up the whole entire place where we will have, hallelujah, a glorious time without time. Time is going to be standing still for us, praise God. We're going to live in eternal bliss, and I can't wait. Let's go back to the Word. Let's go back here. Look at what it says here in verse 9. The Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should what? Come to repentance. Praise God. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens will pass away with a great noise, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Both the earth and the works that are in it will be burned up. Therefore, since all these things will be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be holy in conduct and godly? Let me just pause there again. You see, there's a lot of churches in this nation that are prosperity churches. All they care is about programs and ministries and want to dig deep in your pockets. They won't preach this, that when God comes, He's going to destroy the elements of this earth. They won't want to talk about that. Why? Because they don't want their party to end. They are fleecing the flocks. All they're there is to put their hand out. And as they get richer, the poor get poor. Oh, that's right. Look what they're driving. A lot of them are rolling up in Beamers. A lot of them live on Sugar Hill. But God, hallelujah, is going to put an end to that ludicrous type of living. That's right. It's erroneous. It's not according to the Word of God. Jesus didn't even have a house to hang His hat. He went from town to town. He wasn't riding in a caddy. That's right. He wasn't fleecing the flock. He wasn't saying, hey, you know, give unto me, and then I will preach again next week. No. He went to the cross for you and I. He came to die for hideous sinners. Hallelujah. For gross sinners that should not have ever been saved. But yet, because of His mercy, He saves them. He saves you and I. A lot of us don't deserve this great salvation. A lot of us were down and out. A lot of us, what happened to us, we deserved. We deserved our outcome. We rebelled against our parents. We rebelled against authority. We rebelled against our teachers. We rebelled against the law. And everything that has happened to us in the past, we did it to ourselves. Yet, God in His mercy, God in His grace, God in His long-suffering came down to save heathens like you and I. Can I get an amen? Hallelujah. And now we can rejoice. And now we can say, oh, Jesus, thank you. Thank you for saving a wretch like me. Praise God. Let's go back to the Word. Looking for and hastening the coming of the day of God, because of which the heavens will be dissolved, being on fire, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to His promise, look for new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness shall dwell. A lot of Christians won't believe this. They say, oh, no, I don't believe that. I know it's written there, but I don't believe that. Oh, why? Because they don't want their temporary world here on earth rocked. Oh, I just opened my business. I'm doing well. I'm not going to believe that. I'm going to tell God, hey, hold on. You know what? I want to enjoy my life right now. I'm sorry, my friends. It don't work like that, does it? That's right. When God's ready to come, He's going to do exactly what we just read. All the elements will be melted away. Wow. Wow. But He's going to take the church away. Praise God. You see, saints, as an example of patience, James talks about the farmer who must patiently wait for the precious harvest to ripen. Patience must be exercised and developed between the rains. Even non-farmers have plenty of opportunities to develop patience. Can I get an amen? This is what we need to do. The waiting for the arrival of a baby, starting a new job, finishing school, waiting for a loved one's visit, slowly improving health during a prolonged illness. All these situations try our patience, don't we? And we will exercise patience as we concentrate on the end result of our waiting. Praise God. You see, God's way is seldom the quick way, but it is always the complete way. Can I get an amen? Praise God. Let's go back to James chapter 5 and verse 8. Two more scriptures to break down. You also be patient. Say that with me. You also be patient, establishing your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is at hand. Praise God. Praise God. And it is, my friends. You see, instead of being like the rich people of verse 5 who have fattened their hearts on the wealth of this world, believers are to allow the assurance of Christ's return to help them be patient and to take courage. Can I get an amen? Because things are coming on this earth. Who would have thought COVID would humble the world? Not just our country, the world. Can I get an amen? Look what King David wrote here in Psalms. Look at this. Psalms 112, 4 through 8. Unto the upright there arises light in the darkness. He is gracious and full of compassion and righteous. A good man deals graciously and lends. He will guide his affairs with discretion. Verse 6, surely he will never be shaken. The righteous will be an everlasting remembrance. He will not be afraid of evil things. His heart is steadfast, trusting in the Lord. His heart is established. He will not be afraid until he sees his desire upon his enemies. Wow. Wow, my friends. You see, saints, whatever the circumstances are, James encourages you and I to be rock solid in our faith and to have a faith inspired by joy that permeates every part of our life. And just like the farmer, we must invest a long time in our future hope. Can I get an amen? Why? Because the farmer, my friends, the farmer is at the mercy of the weather. It is outside his control. Can I get amen? But we do not know that the Lord is coming the day or the hour, but we know the season. Jesus said, you will know the seasons when I'm about to come. I won't let you know the day or the hour, but the seasons. And we're living in the generation that he said, in the last days, it would be perilous times. That's right. And they're perilous right now. Earthquakes, thousands of earthquakes in Greenland right now. 20,000 earthquakes in that region in the last 2 weeks. Oh, yes. There's volcanoes about ready to unleash, erupt in the Cascades there in the Washington area. That's right. Saints of God, I'm telling you, we're living in perilous times. We would have never thought COVID would hit this planet, and it has. And we would never thought we would see our cities on fire, burning, and we have. We never thought that 70 million babies would be aborted, and they are. We never thought that all states in the United States will allow homosexual marriage, and it has. I'm telling you, my friends, we're living in the days like Noah. And God said, Jesus said, it will be like the days of Noah and Lot. It will be perverse, it'll be wicked, and it'll be very violent. Almost all movies now are violent. They don't take life as sacred from God. They can just blow someone's head off and it looks so real and not even have a conscience behind it. Wow. Let's finish off this study in verse 9. Look at this. Do not grumble against one another, brethren, lest you be condemned. Behold, the judge is standing at the door. What? He's standing at the door. Praise God. Praise God. Yes, he is. Let me just say this. He was knocking on your door, and you opened the door, and you let him in. And we were judged right then and there at the cross, and we were washed in the blood through us, a heart of repentance, filled with his spirit of promise. And now we have a heaven to gain and a hell to shun. Praise God. The judge came and judged us. That's right. And so now we are part of the family of God. We've been grafted in by faith. We have now the same blessings of Abraham. Oh my goodness. If you do an in-depth study on what God has given you and I in the times that we live in, to rest assured that He's coming for us again and that He's going to deliver us from this wicked place, my friends, you would want to live righteously and holy before Him. You would want to glorify Him and magnify Him and thank Him for the goodness. Some of you, God has blessed wonderful marriages and children. Some of you have relationships that are wayward, but God is saying, don't give up on Him, because God is the final one that will restore. He's the final one that will save from the guttermost to the uttermost. Don't think for one moment the one that you love that's not walking with Christ, that God is done with them. All you need to do is have faith the size of a mustard seed. That's right. And a mustard seed is smaller than a puglia. Oh, that means flea. And that little mustard seed will grow into a tree that you see right behind me. You see these trees? That tiny little seed, you plant it in the ground and it'll blossom into a tree. God is saying, have faith the size of a mustard seed, and God will move the mountains in your life. Can I get amen? And so in the book of James, these believers facing persecution from the outside and problems on the inside may naturally find themselves grumbling and criticizing one another. James doesn't want them to be filled with resentment and bitterness toward each other, saints of God, that would only destroy the unity they so desperately need. Refusing to grumble about each other is part of what it means to be what? Patient. Be patient with one another. Love one another. That's right. Look what King David wrote right here in Psalms 133. Behold, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. It is like precious oil upon the head, running down on the beard of Aaron, running down on the edge of his garments. It is like the dew of Hermon descending upon the mountains of Zion. For there the Lord commanded the blessing, life forevermore. Wow, my friends. Wow. And look what it says in Ephesians right here. As we come in for a close, and He Himself gave some to apostles, some prophets, evangelists, and some pastors and teachers. For what? For the equipping of the saints of the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Till we all, say that with me at home, till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we should no longer be children, what, like tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine. There's so many teachings right now, it's like a smorgasbord. By the trickery of men and the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting. Verse 15, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up in all things into Him who is the head, who? Christ, from whom the whole, say that with me, the whole body joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causing growth of the body for the edifying of itself. It's all through the love of God. Praise God. Praise God. You see, my friends, grumbling against one another indicates a carelessness attitude of speech. Why? Because of the dangers created by our speech. We cannot afford to be lax in the way we speak about one another. If we don't have anything good to say about someone, don't even say nothing at all. Can I get amen? James wrote this and has already, my friends, mentioned the great judge is standing at the door. This judge is not far away, but standing. James is warning believers not to be in the middle of judging, quarreling, criticizing, or gossiping. Then we should be serving the Lord, preparing for His return. Why? Because knowledge of Christ's presence is not only comforting, it can also be convicting, especially when we begin behaving as if He were far away. But I'm here to let you know, my friends, Jesus is about to return. Are you ready to meet the King? Jesus, the judge, is at the door. I'm praying for those who maybe logged on for the very first time. Maybe for the very, very, very first time has never been given an opportunity to receive the Lord Jesus Christ by faith. You see, my friends, the Bible tells us that when Jesus comes back again, he will send his angels beforehand. They will blow the shofar of his appearing. And the Bible says the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we that are who are alive and remain will be caught up together with them in the clouds. Oh, yes. I got scripture to back that up. Let's go there right now. Look at this. But I don't want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those who have fallen asleep, lest you sorrow as others have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with him those who sleep in Jesus. For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will by no means precede those who are asleep. For the Lord himself, say that with me at home, for the Lord himself will descend from heaven with the shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet of God. And the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And thus we shall always be with the Lord. Therefore, comfort one another. Praise God. Let me just say this. It's going to be a time of celebration when we are gathered in his presence. And then he's going to whiz us away into heaven. Wow. We're going to spend eternity with him. We're going to celebrate the marriage supper of the Lamb. Many wonderful things will take place while we're with him. He's going to hide us in his pavilion. That's right. But on the flip side to that, he'll be pouring out his wrath upon this earth. And so, my friends, flesh and blood, the body that we live in right now, we will not get whizzed away because we live in a body of flesh. God is going to give us a new body. And it's going to happen so fast. I got scripture to back that up. Let's look at this. In 1 Corinthians 15:50, now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be what? Changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound and the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we shall be what? Changed. Look at this. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible has put on incorruption, and this mortal has put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. Praise God. Praise God. Listen. All this is a promise from God to you and I, to those who will trust the Lord Jesus Christ with your whole heart, soul, and mind, to those who have repented of their sins, washed in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, and filled with the Holy Spirit of promise. We are now heaven bound. We are now waiting for the soon returning King. But my friends, if you've never given your heart to the Lord Jesus Christ, don't let this happen to you. Let's look at this.
Jesus Christ is coming back for his church. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 24, verse 42, watch therefore, for you do not know the hour your Lord is coming. I want you to know, church, that Jesus Christ could come this month, or he might come next week, or he could even come...
Wow. So I got to ask you this question. Are you ready? Are you ready to meet the Lord Jesus Christ? Or are you like those folks who was, like Brother G would say, in church, faking the funk? Did you catch that? In other words, faking the funk means playing church, but not being the church. My friends, you have an opportunity, a great opportunity, to cry out to God. And 2,000 years ago, one of the key scriptures of salvation was this right here. Look at this. Peter preached his very first sermon, filled with the Holy Ghost. Then Peter said to them, "Repent, and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remissions of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is to you and to your children and to all afar off, as many as the Lord God will call." Wow. Wow, my friends, that's the key. That's the key. The key is surrendering, giving your heart to Jesus. And if you've never done that, allow me to pray with you. Those of you that have logged on, it's not coincidence. God pressed on your heart to log on this evening, that you would surrender your life to the Lord Jesus Christ, that He would give you a life filled with abundant life. That's right, as we wait for His soon return. So if that's you and you've never given your heart to the Lord Jesus Christ and you want to be saved, you want to know that your sins have been forgiven, you want to know that you have eternity and a heaven to gain and a hell to shun, then pray this simple prayer with me. And all the family at Amazing Grace that's logged in right now will pray at home for you right now. It goes just like this. Dear Lord Jesus, I confess to you that I'm a sinner. I do believe on your death, burial, and resurrection. I believe that you died for me, and the blood that you shed on the cross will cleanse me of all my sins. Lord Jesus, I ask you now, God, to forgive me for every sin. Come into my life. Make me a new person in Christ Jesus. And from this day on, I will do my best to honor you and to follow you all the days of my life. In Jesus' name. Amen. Come on, somebody at home, give God a shout of praise and glory. Someone just gave their heart to Jesus. Someone just got saved. This is a time to rejoice. Praise God. Listen, my friends, down below is our website. Log on. Reach out to us. Our phone number, our email is on there. We'd love to get you a Bible. We'd love to point you the right direction. We want to share with you that there are churches, maybe in your town where you live in, that preach the unadulterated Word of God. But if you're living locally here in San Diego, we'd love to invite you to come out at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. We're located at 5305 Sweetwater Road in beautiful Bonita, California. And so, my friends, I'm so excited for this Sunday morning, 10:30. That's right. We'll be live in person. That's right. Live in person service. So we're there. We've come back. We've been back. And we're looking for those who have not yet returned to return with great joy and victory that God has raised us up in the fear and admonition of the Lord. So on behalf of Yolanda and myself and the Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship family, we're signing off and we say we love you, we thank you. And also, I just want to say thank you for all those who continue to support our ministry. Down below, once again, is our website. If you haven't given toward our ministry, take a step of faith and do so. And I believe God will bless your endeavor. Can I get amen? And so I'm going to send out my benediction, and it goes just like this. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make His face shine upon you. May the Lord be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you His shalom, His peace, in Jesus' name. And so we love you. God bless you. Look forward to see you this Sunday at 10:30. Bye-bye now.
The Bible says, "Repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remissions of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you, to your children and to all that are afar off, as many as the Lord God will call. And that's our exhortation to you. We have many ministries available here for you at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. For a complete list of them and to download all of our messages and sermons, please log on to our website at www.acts2-38-39.com or email us at amazing_grace@cox.net. From all of us here at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship, may God bless you and thank you for listening.